When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Find a way to make their job more enjoyable, whether that's through salaries, rewards, or even just to say, enjoy the game.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name is James. Welcome to the Planet FPL People's Poll podcast, where we give the Twitter community a couple of topics for them to vote on for us to discuss. And it's the two that I promised last week. Was it going to be that you'd wanted us to discuss how to improve refereeing or the abolishment of FA Cup replays? You chose, as such highly predicted, the choice of how to improve refereeing. It means we'll be covering FA Cup replays on Patreon on Thursday. But having told us which topic would win, such as bottled it, and Clayton Fernandez is with me. How are you, Clayton?
Hello, sir. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Go on, have your 60 seconds on Arsenal.
To be fair, I don't even know where to start to keep that in 60 seconds. Game of variance.
You finished. That's great. Amazing. Brilliant.
On to the next one. They are the best and the worst days ever. North London derbies. I don't think I can keep it to 60 seconds. So let's tackle refereeing, because that was a topic within that game in itself, wasn't it? And
yes.
It feels like it's a topic in every bloody game.
Congratulations on victory. It also threw up, we're going to mention the same incident, I think, and we probably won't use too many incidents here because I don't want this to be a whinge about shit. It's rare. But you do see things like Declan Rice's tackle on Ben Davis on Sunday, and it is fairly inexplicable that Michael Oliver, supposedly our best referee, doesn't see that as a penalty. Yeah. When he goes to the monitor and sees the replay, and all you can see is the two players and him in the background looking right at it. I'm interested to know, you weren't in the ground, were you?
No, I wasn't
on Sunday. Was you in the pub?
I was in the pub, yeah.
I take it he was in a pub full of all fully biased Arsenal fans.
Of course, yeah.
When you saw the replay of that, did everybody go, that's a penalty?
Yeah. Well, not everyone. Most people. Yeah.
There was a couple of biased heads in there, but most people logically are going, that's a pen.
Yeah, stonewall. Like, yeah. I said it straight away before it even got, I was like, that's a pen.
I'm basically in line with it on the side. Okay. Admittedly, I'm up a tier, but I literally stood up and just shouted penalty.
I think in a world of subjectivity, that is one of the least subjective decisions.
Yes. That's part of the problem with refereeing is so many things are subjective. We can all look at that and agree, whatever your bias is, and go, yeah, okay, Ben Davis got there first and Declan Rice has kicked him like in the fire area, basically. It's a penalty. It's not an argument. You want to debate the one that happens at the other end in the first half ahead of your second goal. For me, it's nothing really. Some people will think it's a penalty. Most people won't. That would be my take. There's a little bit of subjectivity. That one, when Ben Davis, none. We saw an incident on Saturday night with Craig Pawson doing Aston Villa versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
Where my annoyance with that one isn't that VAR gets involved and disallows the goal, although ironically, the bar's probably not high enough based on their own outline of, the bar needs to be higher. It's probably not high enough because some people won't think that's a foul and some people do. The failure is by Craig Pawson not to give the decision originally that then puts the pressure on. What I hate about that particular one is I think contact in Premier League football for incidents like that is just getting waved away. So if that incident happens on a halfway line, it's not a foul because they want to increase the physicality of the game. That's a foul.
It's still a foul.
It's someone intentionally not playing the ball and moving someone to deny them the opportunity of playing the ball. But then we re-referee it because we won't give that as a foul on the halfway line, but because it's led to a goal, we're going to look at it and then you give it. So you actually got two different laws within the same game. And there was obviously the incidents, which has caused part of this controversy, part why we're doing it, of the three Nottingham Forest penalty incidents at Everton the previous weekend, of which the judging panel has deemed that only one of the penalty incidents should have been given, which is, I think, the conclusion, probably Forest fans will disagree, but the conclusion most of us would have come to was that the last incident where Ashley Young fouls Callum Hudson-Odoi from behind, everyone thinks that's a penalty.
Yeah.
And Anthony Taylor was the referee on that day, clearly indicated, it's won the ball. We didn't. VAR can see that. We can see that. And then they don't recommend that he goes to review it. That's a failure. And incidents like that become really frustrating because you know that that same incident could happen this weekend and a penalty would be given.
Yeah. It's the inconsistency, right?
Yeah. I want to ask you a question. What to you does good refereeing look like?
What to me does good refereeing look like? Good refereeing for me is a consistent application of the laws of football where, okay, what is good refereeing? Coming away from a game where I'm not thinking about every minuscule decision, not having a debate with my friends in the pub, it's just talking about the game of football. And that's where I've definitely left games where I've not even mentioned or thought about the ref. That to me is a game where it's been refereed correctly.
Yeah, when you leave a game, even when you leave the game and you think, who was ref today?
Yeah.
You don't even know.
What about you?
I think there's a key thing here because it's easy to bash referees and it's what the majority of us do, right? You got it wrong. We don't often say, we played a good advantage there. Or no. It's occasional, but it's more criticism than praise. I think about Michael Oliver. And I think the reason Michael Oliver kind of got fast-tracked really quickly from being a young, inexperienced referee to one of the best in the country is something that we don't speak about much. He looked like he enjoyed his job. He used to smile and talk to his players. I haven't seen Michael Oliver smile for years. But originally, he came across as approachable, explain himself. Listen, there's a time and a place for a referee to have a joke. And I realise the serious nature of the game. But there are certain moments where you know, at the end of the day, it's a job.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard work when you go to your job and you hate your job. And he looks like he's gone from someone who loved being there originally. And people liked it because he seemed personable and made mistakes like others, fine. Now, he and the rest of them are just so cold.
What do you think has changed for him?
They all hate it.
Because that's a really good example if you just focus specifically on him. What do you think has been the change?
Probably attention to him, and maybe it's people even in his ear like, don't do that. Like, you know, don't look like you're enjoying your job. I don't know, because that will, if a referee's having a laugh and joke, then that will rub some people up the wrong way, right? But if you're getting beat 4-0, if someone's getting slapped 4-0, okay, maybe easy off, right? If the game's 1-1 20 minutes in or 0-0, whatever, can you have a laugh and joke about, yeah, you know, course, an infringement on a halfway line or something? Yeah. It's people are human. Who goes to work and like, oh, I'm at work for 90 minutes. I can't smile. I can't laugh. That's horrendous, mate.
Yeah.
And I just don't see any of them do it now. And that's one of the reasons we really liked him originally, Michael Oliver. I think most people did. They might not like him now, but in the first couple of years, people went, I really like Michael Oliver. That's a good up and coming referee.
He was a breath of fresh air, weren't he, when he first came?
And I'm sorry to pick him out. And I don't, you know, I would still rather have Michael Oliver referee my team's games than the majority of other referees, by the way. I still think he's one of the best. But I think that's a great example of it looks unhappy now.
Yeah.
It's cold, doesn't like talks to people anymore. I don't know if that is an influence of VAR, where we've got to be 100% accurate all the time. I agree with you. I think it's, you don't even want to know who the referee is. I see it every week on our Slack channels. Someone will put, oh my God, we've got him this weekend.
This one's refereeing this weekend. This one's on VAR. It's like, we shouldn't really be having to think about that, should we?
And by the way, that's the best referees, as in the considered best, the Olivers, the Taylors, etc. People go, oh, I hate that. The best refs at the moment are ones you probably can't name.
Yeah.
Because they haven't made enough mistakes. It's only once they make cock-ups and mistakes.
That's when they become...
People, yeah, basically... Yeah. But Oliver is one. I think he got into people's attention originally because he was refereeing games really well and didn't look like he hated his job. He looked largely like he enjoyed it. So good refereeing for me would be that. Why can't we go back to that? We expect them to be robots, don't we?
Yeah, well, you kind of touched on it there when I asked, like, why do you think? And you said, oh, maybe VAR. Like, I think it's impossible to do this podcast without talking about VAR, right? But, like, I think in my opinion, one of the reasons is, like, when he was training to be a referee and stuff, like, it was literally his interpretation of what's going on that football pitch, right? And now my interpretation of VAR is games out similar to what the Tottenham manager Ange says, like, games are being re-refereed outside of the football stadium, and that's my opinion on how it's going as well. And that in itself is a big enough factor to take enjoyment out of someone who's pursued a career in that field, where it's not really him controlling that game of football anymore, is it?
Well, he is and he isn't, yeah. But we know when someone gets told go to the monitor, nine times out of ten, the decision's going to change. There was one very recently in the Brentford-Brighton game where, ironically, it was Michael Oliver who was on VAR. I forget who the referee was, but he got recommended to go to the monitor to potentially give a penalty. It was Fowan Lewis Dunk, I think.
Okay.
But when he went to the monitor, you could see Dunk had committed the first offence, then Dunk was fouled. I think it was Lewis Dunk. I might have that wrong. And the referee's gone, well, yeah, he's a foul, but actually, he's committed the first offences. I'm not going to give that. And he stood up to it. And that was absolutely the right decision. And do you know what? When me and Suj did the pod review on the Friday, did we remember to talk about it and say that referee did well?
No.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. With VAR, I don't want to go down a VAR rabbit hole too much, but you are right. It's unavoidable to discuss. Do we think, since VAR came into the Premier League, do we think referee has improved?
I will categorically say no. I think it's got worse. And I think it's because you've taken away referees' ability to be in full control in that football stadium environment, personally, in my opinion.
So we've got a tool here that is designed to help refereeing, and we're saying that actually it's made refereeing worse. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I think it's because, like, so let me elaborate on why. I think it's because a lot of them, I don't know what the governance is behind the process, but, like, the opinion I get a lot is that they kind of default to, oh, not entirely sure, so VAR will pick it up, right? And that's where I think refereeing has got worse. I don't think they're trusting their judgment anymore. That's a very big blanket statement, but, like, yeah, I don't think they're actually going and refereeing with what they're seeing. And the Rice on Ben Davies thing was the clearest example of that for me. Like, I don't know how you can be that close and not see it.
It is possible that Michael Oliver saw the incident and genuinely didn't think it was a foul, but I'm not quite sure how from his perspective. Yeah. Especially when Davies kicks in between, Rice kicks in between his legs.
Yeah. What do you
get it if it's like into his back and he's blindside of it and stuff like that? But I don't know. He doesn't see that.
No. But on the same question, what do you think since VAR's come in? Do you think the quality of refereeing's got better?
I don't necessarily think it's got worse, actually. And I realised, I realised that that's probably not an opinion that many will share.
No.
Okay. I just think the problem with VAR is we want 100% accuracy now. That's our expectation, that VAR is going to make a decision, is going to make everything 100% correct. There are too many things in football which are still subjective. This Rice-Davis incident is quite a unique one where, unless you're really, really biased, it's a penalty. There's with the Everton Forest ones is probably a better example. The Ashley Young handball.
Yeah.
This panel will review back the incident, said there's five of them who view incidents back. Three of them said that it was a penalty. Two of them said that they didn't think it was a penalty. But because of that, and there was a split, their interpretation was that therefore VAR shouldn't intervene because three of them think it's a penalty and two of them don't. So that's subjective where you've got a difference of opinion. Fine. You're still going to get those incidents in football.
Yep.
The problem is, like I said, I think we expect 100% accuracy now. And because of that, the way we look at replays, you know, the extensive analysis, Sky have a program every Monday morning, which is terrible, called Ref Watch, where Dermot Gallagher goes on the TV and he just agrees with every referee anyway, whether it's right or wrong. I mean, what's the point in this? content is shit. So the way we analyze things now is just heightened and maximized. And because of VAR, we expect everything to be correct, basically. And it's impossible to get 100% accuracy, even to the point of, we use another example, the Van de Ven offside goal at the weekend, right? Like, for me, I've just had to accept that the line's come into play and it's offside. It is or it isn't. You know me, I hate it. Not because of that on Sunday. Yeah. I just hate the taking away of the goal celebrations is the big thing for me. I never celebrated that goal. I'm the other end of the ground. The foot was offside, mate.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. My foot was offside because I knew how would he got in that position? He must have been on the other side of someone to end up in that position with that luxury of a near open goal from that position. So I thought it was offside when it happened. But even that, the Coventry Manchester United example might be a better one, where people look at it backwards and go, oh, well, the line looks like it's over Wan-Bissaka's toe. And then obviously the really farcical one with the Tottenham Liverpool Luis Diaz goal, where so many people have now completely lost their trust in that. And what people have learned is that even that can't be 100% accurate because of, what is it, 500 frames per second or something. Yeah. And apparently that's not enough or something, or 50 frames per second. That can't give you 100% accuracy. So why even use it?
How did you feel about... So if we did this podcast pre-VAR, and the question is the kind of state of refereeing, how did you feel about general refereeing pre-VAR?
I've probably been more of a defender of referees more than most people. Because I just know that they're out there, like all this ice corruption and stuff like that. Rah, rah, rah. I just know they're out there and they're human and trying to do their best.
Yeah, I'm very much agree with that.
And we sit on podcasts every week and we criticise footballers, but we do it very differently to how we criticise referees. There's like an expectation that a referee must get everything 100% right. No footballer gets everything 100% right. Even Rodri gives the ball away sometimes, right? Yeah. No one gets everything absolutely right. But there's an expectation on 100% correctness on referees.
Why do you think that is?
It's just what we expect, isn't it? And of course, obviously, when you get, you know, a Tottenham fan and Arsenal fan, you're going to get a different opinion on what a decision should be, as an example. One thing that really does my nut in with the offsides is there was a statistic before VAR came in that linesmen get 98% of decisions correct.
Okay, wow.
Which, when you think about it, is get 1 in 50 wrong.
Bloody hell. Okay, didn't know that.
How many offsides do you get in a game? I mean, it varies depending on who's playing, but I don't know, 10 to 15, and maybe. Yeah. It's probably a maximum. Sometimes you see games, you get barely any sometimes. So judging on that, in most games, a linesman will actually get every offside decision right. And yet, 2 weeks ago, the Premier League's coming out and they're going, well, VAR's got a 90% accuracy on correct decisions. And so you think, hang on a minute. So you're telling me that years ago, before we had VAR, linesmen were getting 98% of decisions right, and now you've got this technology, we're now only getting 96% of decisions right. And I realise that doesn't relate just to offside, it relates to actual decisions as well. Yeah. Hold up, have we actually improved anything here?
Okay, that's interesting, because I'd heard the statistic of the one going up to 96% with VAR, but I've not heard the offside one.
It's an old stat. But now, after time, if you judge them again now, I bet it's not 98%, because obviously after time now they keep the flag down, which is, that's what they're told to do, whether we like it or not. Yeah, the offside one is the one that really does my head in. But I think people have got really frustrated with the use of VAR, because, I mean, the Hudson-Odoi, when he's fouled by Ashley Young, is just a perfect example of everyone thinks that's a penalty.
Yeah.
Get involved. And even, like I said, Anthony Taylor's given it. He's won the ball. Well, he hasn't, so intervene. So I feel like one thing is certainly to get them enjoying themselves more on the game, I said, and accept that human, but we'll never get that perspective from a football fan where they're going to accept that referees are human and will make errors.
And that's the thing.
That's why VAR's made it worse. We used to just get on with the decision. We'd go to the pub afterwards, moan about it. And the next day you get on with it, and that's it. And sometimes it went in your favour and sometimes it didn't.
But then with that, and again, you touched on it, like there's people that believe there's corruption and kind of agendas against football clubs, right? Like, I think that's back in the day what people would get fed and believe into, right? So
it's interesting though, when we reflect on the question of, has VAR improved refereeing? And you and I are both sitting here and going, no, basically. Yeah. But I don't think the quality's got worse. Yeah, I just think the tool hasn't helped them in the way that it should have. It's made their life not easier. Someone's made it more difficult, and we're scrutinizing it more.
Do you think there is a world in which we can, and I'm sure we'll get onto this in terms of solutions, do you think there's a world we can get to where we use VAR in an appropriate manner to make the referees' lives easier and get the general entertainment of football better aligned?
Well, one of the big responses from the tweet I sent out last night was get rid of this high bar.
Yeah.
But then you get rid of the high bar, go back to the Ashley Young handball incident in the Everton Forest game. What's the decision? Yeah, a lot of people think that's a penalty. A lot of people don't. So what's, for me there, I don't know how they can get involved at that point. Unless, what would arguably be the right thing there, because I think that's a judgmental call. What would be right in that sort of one is, because a referee gets one look at it, right? One of the things people suggest is for the on-field referee to control what happens with VAR, i.e. he's seen that one incident. He's blindsided as well. Remember that one. So it's a more difficult call for the on-field referee. And he says, I want to see that again. He just goes to VAR and goes, I'm going to the side. I want to see that again because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That would maybe get people's trust back a little bit, I think. But then there are still times where VAR, you can't just have that as an exclusivity, because if someone punches someone off the ball and the referee doesn't see it, then everyone wants VAR to get involved there, right?
And that's common sense, right? Well, you'd like to think so.
Well, there's a lot of it that, isn't operated with common sense. That's part of the problem very often.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's interesting, very recently, many of you might have seen that Sweden have refused VAR. I've just gone, we don't want that in our game. Thank you very much. And I applaud those people. My opinion on VAR has never changed and probably won't change, is that it's not improved our game or our spectacle. We've given up the joy of the game for 100% accuracy, and I'm afraid we don't have 100% accuracy. So
would you go back to a world where Tottenham could potentially get done by the subjective error?
Look at the game at the weekend. Van der Ven's goal presumably stands.
I reckon that stands, yeah.
But then we don't get a penalty. But then does Michael Oliver, because he's not relying on VAR upstairs, does he give the penalty?
Yes, you never know, right?
No, I don't know.
This is why I asked the question. How did you feel about refereeing in general before VAR? Like, were you an advocate of bringing in technology when the discussions first?
No, I mean, goal line technology is like a given. I don't hate the idea of technology for offside decisions. Like, we're obviously going to automated offside from sort of October-ish.
Yeah.
It's weird that it's not August, by the way, but October-ish from next season. And it will improve, certainly, the accuracy. There's no doubt about that. And it will improve the speed a little bit. But not as much as I think everybody thinks. You're still going to have times where you're sitting there waiting for a minute and you don't know. I want something that's like that. So yeah. When I'm in a stadium, I can know, can I chat goal here or not?
Yeah,
that's what I want. And Suj says it right. It's like, as soon as the goal goes in now, the first thing you think is, why could this get disallowed?
Yeah, see, this is where
that's the first thing you think.
So I'm on my own. I'm still not quite there, but I don't know if I'm just like away with the fairies or what. But like when a goal goes in, I still celebrate. And if I look like an idiot, I look like an idiot. Like my first instinct is still, I guess I'm still present in that moment somehow. So I've not quite been dragged to that side yet where I haven't not celebrated a goal. Do I find it incredibly infuriating then waiting for the big monitor when I'm in the stadium? Yeah, of course. But I'm still thankfully able to still celebrate a goal when it goes in. I don't know how.
Shit when it gets taken away, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's not what it's about, is it?
No.
You see goals scored now, and you can see the crowd sometimes are thinking, it's what I said, you're better off scoring a worldie from 25 yards because everyone knows his chance size is going to count.
Yeah.
Anything that's like, if someone's through one-on-one, the whole ground is thinking, is he onside or not?
There's just like a gasp moment, isn't it?
Well, it's just like, do we celebrate? Do we not? Or... Yeah, I mean, that's a personal opinion that I hate that and would rather lose the accuracy to get the moments back. And I've benefited from VAR, right? One of the first incidents we saw was the Raheem Sterling goal. in the Champions League quarterfinal between City and Tottenham in 2019. I was in the away end. Don't get me wrong, I was walking out the ground singing VAR, my Lord, that night, right? And he was my Lord because he saved me. But on the podcast that we did 2 days later, I said, this is really dangerous. Yeah. Even though it benefited me then, I said, I don't like this. Just don't feel right that there's 50,000 of them gone absolutely nuts in the last minute. And because of a fraction, you've gone, no. Don't feel right.
No.
And yet, with offside as well, we go, oh, we've got to have 100% accuracy. But we don't have 100% accuracy in anything else.
Yeah, I don't know where this whole thing about 100% accuracy is coming from. Because I think, and again, you kind of touched on it, there's too much subjectivity in football to get to 100% accuracy. I don't think it's an achievable goal. So I don't know where this has come from as an objective.
I also think you get a real split of opinion from fans who regularly go to games and those who regularly don't, because the experience on the television is better than it is in the stadium.
Good point.
So I'm at White Hart Lane the other day, you're in a pub, you'll be seeing those replays of the Van der Ven incident and going, shit, that's close.
It's close.
Lines are going up. I get nothing. I get nothing. All you do is you stand there, you'll know because you've been at games, you stand there like a lemon just looking at the referee. And sometimes that can go on, we've seen it plenty of times, and go on 4 or 5 minutes when you've got really complicated incidents and you're just waiting for him. And you start looking for things, like I start looking for which way he starts walking.
Yeah,
he's going to tell me which way he's going to do the decision. He's on the halfway line for the Van der Ven offside goal and he starts taking steps to his right. He's getting disallowed. What is that? And I don't get no information. I don't get nothing. All I know is there's a goal check going on. That's all you get. The in-stadium experience is terrible. One of the big suggestions that people are throwing forward is micing up referees.
Yep. And we've started to get clips doing the rounds from communications and VAR and stuff, right?
How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's dangerous.
It is as well.
I don't hate it.
Especially if they stand there and go, I don't know, Bob, what do you think? Like...
But I don't know, they're human, aren't they? Like,
well, yes,
and in rugby, to be fair, they're mic'd up. But I think rugby as a sport is, like, there's a lot more respect in rugby. And I don't know if that's something culturally, that's like a whole different podcast. But I don't think football has that level of respect towards referees where we would be able to mic them up and just take their word for it and almost listen to them. I think it would open them up to even more criticism and, dare I say, abuse, which is not what you want from these people that are, without them, football game doesn't get played, right?
Those on YouTube can probably see I'm fighting a light that's shining above me and I can't find the
like halo angel
of where to sit to get this light off my head. I think I'm just going to have to suffer it for what it is. Sorry, guys, that's shit for the audio. The thing is, if we mic refs, which I think most of us would like, the first thing I wonder is what does that look like in the in-stadium experience as well? Because you don't want to hear a referee running and breathing. And I don't suppose anyone wants that actually on the TV as well. I suppose when we want conclusive decisions given, then we want to hear.
Yeah, you want to hear them discussing with the linesman and
Can you get 60,000 people to shut up and listen to what a referee's going to say? It would be quite interesting. I don't know how good the quality of the audio is going to be.
If it went up on the tannoys, I genuinely think everyone would be quiet. And just
I think it probably would, actually. Yeah. You'd soon get used to it. But shut up, mate. Listen to
the ref.
Yeah,
I want to listen, yeah.
It certainly would help to get full explanations of things. You know, I think you can't argue that Forrest a right to ask for the audio, I think, at least on that last incident with Hudson-Odoi. So what is the process there? Anthony Taylor says he sees the ball. What have you discussed?
Yeah.
What have you discussed in that VAR room to not recommend that he didn't win the ball? Do you want to have another look at it? What is that conversation? And the chances are, we'll hear it. When the Luis Diaz goal happened, the big thing for me was like take learnings from that. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete cock-up. But they're also fighting a battle where they're rushed. You can hear it's like a frantic panic. Okay, yeah, check it. Yeah, he's in line. Yeah, put the lines up, do that. I'll pre-check this. Was another incident earlier in the play. Everything's 100 mile an hour. And they have to do that because people like me will sit there and go, hurry the fuck up. Get on with it. Make the decision.
And that's why I'm hesitant when I hear people say they want a time limit on these decisions.
But then that's the best one, isn't it? It's like when they sit there like lemons at the end and go, well, the game's restarted. We can't do nothing now. Liverpool scored. Forget the laws. like, you know, oh, you can't change it now. You all can see Liverpool scored a legitimate goal. Stop the game and go.
Common sense, yeah.
You got this. Who's going to batter them if you turn around? Okay, we misunderstood what was said in the decision on the field. We realise it's a goal. Give the bloody goal.
Yeah.
It's like a hollow feeling. I'm glad that that goal is not going to impact the title race in the end. Genuinely.
Yeah. Because if it did, then... Yeah, I don't know what
if Liverpool lost the title by a point at the end of the season, people would be going back to that moment because it was that big and it was different to all the others because that is, go back to 100% accuracy. It's 100% accurate that Liverpool scored a legitimate goal.
Yeah. And again, like my mind immediately then goes to like holistically, it's the implementation of it in combination with the on-field referees, right? And that's where my brain goes to. I personally think it's here to stay. I like VAR. I don't think it's going anywhere. So it's like, what can we do? Rather than, and again, you said it in your tweet, right? You don't want to, I hate it because it's like, what can we actually do about it? What? Because I believe there is a world we can get to where we can make this work. I think the technology is useful. I think it's just the application of it isn't done in the most sensible way at the minute.
Yeah, just one thing on VAR finally before we look at some different solutions and suggestions that the guys have submitted. I wonder if you polled the supporters' trust of the clubs in the Premier League, and I think particularly the big six supporters' clubs who have quite a bit of a voice and actually do a lot of good work together. We've seen very recently Tottenham and Arsenal supporters' trusts working together on like concession pricing and stuff like that. I wonder if you asked them, would you prefer to go back to pre-VAR and then actually poll the supporters who go to games, what that would look like? And what would happen if the supporters trust all came together and went, get rid of this? What would that noise be? And I know there's a lot of people really pro. There's a lot of people who are very pro VAR and keeping it and understand that. But I just wonder from the actual supporters trust, if that she sat down and got together and went, do we want this? Or should we have a voice here and say, this isn't working. Come back to it. When the technology is far more advanced in the future. And also when we've got train of referees, so this is a really big suggestion, is have VAR specific officials. Yeah. Rather than throwing Michael Oliver, who's grown up, trained, referee, and then you're asking him to watch the game in the room. It's different. It's not trained from that.
Yeah.
So VAR specialist referees feels like a really sensible call to me. The one I'd really like as well is, get an ex-pro in now.
Yeah, that's my biggest one.
Get an ex-pro who just he doesn't it's have
common
the,
sense.
He doesn't have the final decision, but a neutral ex-pro who can just sit there and go, you know, when they're making an error, to go, actually, nah, I think you should consider this because this and that viewpoint. Because I think quite often, you know, we can criticize pundits and analysis, but from a perspective of decision making, they'll think like us.
Yeah. 100%.
Are not like the robotic referee who's got
process-driven, letter of
the laws. I mean, there was an interesting incident in the West Ham game at the weekend, right, with Gakpo.
Yeah.
Very kind of similar to the Arsenal-Bayern Munich thing where, I mean, that was Anthony Taylor again, wasn't it? He's made the decision to say, I don't actually hate that because it doesn't feel in the spirit of the game. And he blows the whistle, importantly, before Gakpo kicks it. But actually, this is it. He's got no right to blow that whistle.
Yeah,
it's not in the laws to, oh, the goalkeeper's put the ball down, he thinks it's a free kick, you've not given one, you signaled several times, you told him yourself, get up, play on, and he's put the ball down like it's a free kick, and then they scammed it, didn't they? It was like, he's told him, sit down, you need to get treatment, otherwise I don't know what to do here, because I've broken the laws of the game.
Yeah.
He's made it look like, oh, he might have a concussion issue or something like that. He definitely told Ariola, I'm bringing you treatment on here because I've just saved you.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where I think you can get to like such specific examples and stuff. But I think it's more, again, bringing it to a higher level. Just overall, how do we feel about the quality of refereeing and what can be done about it? And I think my brain goes to like, what right now is the encouragement for anyone to pursue a refereeing career?
Exactly that. I mean, one of the problems with Mike in refs up, actually the biggest problem is the players.
Yeah.
To trust them in the 12:30 kickoff, not to be F this, F that, and that to get picked up. So to get to that point where you mic refs up, I'm obviously in the VAR studio, you could release that and that's not a problem. But the actual referee on the pitch, and to know that he's not going to get, hey, fucking hell ref, rah, 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 you're going to have to punish this properly, or genuinely, they've tried it. It's like, only the captain can speak to the ref. Like, yeah. Bullshit, that never happens.
Everyone congregates never did anyway. Happen.
So you'd have to get, before you can get to micing up the referees, you need to get to a perspective where you can trust the players not to say the wrong shit that's going to be broadcast live on television, basically. Salaries, I think it's possibly where you're leaning to here. There is no...
I don't know what they get paid, to be fair.
It's not like footballers, right? A decent salary. I mean, you get up to sort of like 75, 80 grand a year, I think. Depending on the number of games, it isn't good salary, right? No one's knocking it, but
for the stress and the public eye that you're in,
they'll be officiating. People are getting, you know, that a week and a lot more, but who wants to go for a job where basically the remit of your job is to do the best, get scrutinized if you get 1% of decisions wrong, and just get abuse? Who wants to do that? What's the reward?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
But there's a balance here, right? Because one argument is, right, we'll pay them more money. But then there'll also be people sitting in there, we want to pay them more for it. They're failing.
I think you then attract a different pool of talent at a grassroots level, though. If there's...
Correct.
Yeah.
But you've got situations, or one of our patrons messaged me last night, actually. It's like, I've gone and refereed games at, like, you know, tier 7, tier 8, whatever, okay, or low league grassroots, and you get, like, you know, 25 to 40 quid for a game to get shouted at and abused. Is it worth it?
Why does that patron do it? Did you ask?
Well, it doesn't anymore.
Oh, well.
Because it's not worth it, is it?
No.
And that's the problem. So, I mean, I've certainly... It's going back a long time when I was a kid now, but quite often you'd have parents would end up refereeing a game because you didn't have one and stuff. Yeah. It was the only way to do it. Why would you turn up on a Sunday morning in January in a freezing cold, pissing down with rain, to get shouted at for hour and a half to get like 25 quid? Well, just wouldn't.
That's where it's like, you kind of, the love of every football fan is, it's the love of the sport, right? And I think that's where sometimes we do lose that entertainment factor with the way it's heading.
And that's why we have to have a big problem with the behaviour of people when they get in referees' faces, and that, because the knock-on is that it then happens in an unprotected situation for referees at grassroots level. That's not fair. So the salaries at the top end will help the game, but it doesn't. It's not necessarily going to help at the bottom end, but it maybe give more encouragement for people to take it up. Ex-pros is another idea. The problem with an ex-pro is, though, let's imagine this as a scenario, right? Let's say Peter Crouch, bless him, love Crouchy. Peter Crouch went, I want to be a ref.
Okay.
Right. The amount of clubs he's played for, who could he actually referee?
Yeah, good point, because everyone's like, oh, this guy's like mother-in-law wore West Ham colours one day. Or it's like, yeah, it's... I think you will always be accused of having an affiliation with someone, won't you?
That with Stuart Atwell being the VAR in the Everton Forest, like, I believe he's called that absolutely genuinely, whatever his opinion is, even if we think it's wrong. But once it got flagged, they should have just taken him out of the situation.
Yeah.
And said, right, we'll have someone else here. Because to be fair, even as Nuno said himself, it was inevitable if something like this happened, what the scrutiny was going to be.
Yeah.
So take that situation out.
I'd love to know, obviously, this is very Premier League driven, right? I'd love to know from fans who support teams where they don't have VAR, like, what do they think about the quality of refereeing in general? Like, is it something where VAR skews our perception of...
Well, a little bit. If you speak to an EFL fan, they'll tell all Premier League fans how lucky they are to have the referees that they have.
See, it's interesting perspective.
But then you would expect a higher quality official in the Premier League than the lower leagues, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fair.
It's the same as you get better players, generally speaking, true, in the Premier League than lower levels. So, yeah, if you ask EFL fans, the majority of them will be like, the refereeing is absolutely disgusting. So, look, I don't watch a huge amount of EFL football. Obviously, they don't have VAR, but you obviously see some mad decisions. I mean, there was one at West Brom the other week where the handball was given, and it's not even anywhere near inside the box. And penalty's been given, like... I'm not even sure if it hits hand, but it was given as a penalty. Now, obviously, that's where VAR is very useful, because you'd be, that's outside the box, mate. They obviously don't have that benefit at that lower level. Overseas refs has been mentioned as an idea. Jared Gillett makes me think that we probably shouldn't go down that route because that's not necessarily better. I also, this is my opinion, having watched my club play in Europe a lot, I don't think refereeing is better overseas.
I agree. I'm so glad you said that.
Strongly don't think it is.
I completely agree. And I feel like that's a general narrative that I've always felt like I'm kind of on my own on. I always hear this thing about foreign refs are so much better. I'm like, I don't think they are.
No, I've definitely seen, you know, we talk about, you know, conspiracies and stuff like that. 100% I have seen referees get influenced in European games at
White. I would say even more so I've seen it.
Where it continent. Feels like you get either every decision or no decision.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. Yeah.
So much in European games, way more than Premier League games. The Premier League, I just feel like it's not that it's conspiracy or, you know, they're defrauding football. I said people say, oh, the Premier League's scripted. Yeah, okay. You see, it's incompetence quite often.
Yeah.
Which... some of these incidents we've mentioned on this podcast comes down to incompetence of decision making, whether that's partly because VAR is an influence there or not in the case of, say, the Hudson-Odoi incident.
Yeah. And bring it back to, like you said, they're human beings doing a job. Every person listening to this who has a job has made mistakes. Some will be big, some will be small. And I don't know where this belief system has come in that they are not allowed to make any mistakes at all. It's like the bar and expectation is so...
One suggestion is that we have like a St. George's Park for referees. I mean, Adam Pritchard, our Arsenal correspondent, threw that in. But they already do have regular meetups, I think, don't they? Like twice a week where they actually go in and review incidents together. Certainly the Premier League referees do. I can't speak
for
lower leagues.
Is this with PG, MOL?
We've seen that where Carragher and Neville have gone and visited them and see what they do in terms of their training and stuff like that. But some sort of refereeing score of excellence, I guess.
I think that's kind of being led up by Howard Webb, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, how do we feel about Howard Webb?
I don't hate it, to be honest.
I think
he's
better than Mike Riley. I'll be very clear on that.
Like, I think growing up, he was probably one of the better ones.
It was another one. It was like after the World Cup final in 2010, it was like it became like a chore for him.
Yeah.
Because of the scrutiny after that particular game. And generally, he was probably one of the better ones before that.
I think the reason we're questioning everything is because we're aware there's this school going on. And like you said, they do meet up and stuff, but it's not quite correlating to consistency, right? So naturally, our brains are going to, well, why is that? What are you discussing in those things that's not translating to what we're seeing in a weekly format?
I wonder as well what happens, like when they meet up this week and they'll sit Craig Pawson down, they'll sit Michael Oliver down as a group and they look through the decisions, what that conversation looks like. What does it look like?
I don't think
surely
we should
have that. Surely the question has got to be, and that's behind closed doors, the question has got to be to those two gentlemen, like, what did you see here? And you've got to ask the serious questions, like, are you influenced by what's going on back at Stockley Park, knowing that that might get you out? Because you've got to, I think referees, to be clear, referees got to referee the game based on what he sees. Not what VAR might help him out. There's a big feeling at the moment that they're not making big decisions because VAR will get them out of it. Different case would be, though, you know, the Liverpool-Man City draw, there was an incident really late in the game. I think Doku on McAllister.
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that was a penalty. That one felt to me like, because of how high profile the game was and the two teams going for the title, it felt to me like if that had been two mid-table teams,
It would have been given.
Now, that's wrong. But that's like an intuition that I've picked up. Maybe I'm wrong there. But that's how it felt. It was like it was easier. It's easier not to give them.
It's
decision.
Easier to sit on the fence there. Yeah.
That's how it felt. So then no one wants the big decision. Because a lot of people also think with the VARs, they don't want to disagree with what their mate said on the pitch.
Yeah.
That's a theme that you hear people regularly complain about as well. What do you think about removing clear and obvious? This is a big one people are talking about getting rid of.
Get rid of it. Like, what is clear and obvious? I mean, I like it in principle. If it was actually being adhered to, that's what I would want, but it's not being adhered to. I don't think, like, and again, I don't know how you quantify something like clear and obvious, but the whole rulers thing, and like, yeah, sure, we're getting offsides like 100% correct by the letter of like millimeters and 500 frames per second. But when you're getting to that level, that's not clear and obvious, is it? And that's where the reason I would get rid of it is I don't think there is a way in this subjective world to quantify something as clear and obvious.
I don't know, like with the Ashley Young handball against Nottingham Forest, I don't know how you decipher what category that falls into. You can say, oh, his arm is in a natural opinion, unnatural position. It's away from his body. But as I highlighted on the podcast we did the next day, the ball comes over your head. When you turn round, your arm's going with you. So is it or isn't it? And that's just, you're going to get a difference of opinion on that. That's the perfect one where I feel like that should just be solely referee go, I know something's not right here. I know that's it, Zan. Can I
And
look at it
I.
again? Don't say shit to me either. Just show me a couple of angles. I think that happens a lot in rugby, isn't it? I mean, I don't watch a lot of other sports, but it's like, okay, can you show me the high angle, or can you show me the angle behind the goal? Can you show me full
Yeah,
speed,
they're
slow
asking
speed,
for the
whatever?
information that they think will give them the context to make a better decision. That's what it should be. It's interesting. I was listening to an Arsenal podcast, right? And this guy is like quite
Biased.
senior. No, he's quite senior in like the corporate world, and he's from a process background. And he's saying in any industry, when you implement a technological process, it goes to the KPMGs, it goes to the PwCs, it gets audited, it goes through a governance process. I don't think they've done anything like this for this. It's almost like you've just kind of gone, here's the rules, like here's the technology, on you trot.
What do we think about appeals? So one of the suggestions I was having back is, give coaches like one appeal per half, and if they get the first one wrong, they don't get the one in the second half, or and
I've
stuff like
touted this
this.
before as well, and like I watch cricket, right? And watch tennis, and obviously there's the you have that in that, and I like the idea of it, but I just think then I don't know, like because you're gonna have to put a quantifiable limit on it, right? Like I don't know, you get two challenges per game. What happens if you get seven bad decisions? It's like again, I don't know. I like the idea of it. I don't know how it would
Well,
work
yeah.
in reality.
Let's look at it this way. Let's say you got two challenges per game, and Forrest used their two challenges on the first two penalty incidents at Everton, didn't get them, and then the Hudson-Odoi incident happens, and you can't appeal it.
Yeah, because then what's to say we don't then create a culture where referees are like, oh, it's okay, they've got a challenge. Like in the way we perceive that they're relying on VAR as a bit of a backup now, what's to say we don't then shift them into a culture of, oh, they've got a challenge, so any 50-50, we'll just let them use a challenge.
I mean, there are plenty of games every week that happen, we forget this, where there isn't any controversial incidents
This
or.
is what I mean. Yeah, it's not every game.
No, I'm trying to think back, like Forest City Sunday, was there anything controversial in that at all? And I'm
I
thinking
didn't actually
no.
watch it,
I'm
to be
thinking
fair.
from memory, I might have this wrong. I don't think no. I don't think VAR had to be used at all in that football match for anything, actually. So then we're throwing in checks when we don't need them. Where, Pep's going to, oh, right, we're 2-0. I want to slow the game here for a minute. We'll challenge, was that a corner? And you can review it so I can have a tactical instructions to my team. Like the old one, Southampton were regularly doing, wasn't it? Every week someone got injured in the 65th minute. So Hasenhüttl could give like his half time and the second half team talk. I think your club's done that a fair bit as well,
Yeah,
mate.
we Arsenal do that a lot, yeah.
So I'm not sure on challenges. I think it's one I'd like to see trialed maybe to see how it'd work. Because the only thing I do like about that, or one of the things I like about that, is the idea is taking away from just blame on referee and putting some of the responsibility back on the coach in terms of when they actually appeal things or not, or the captain on the pitch or whatever. And then you might get more of an acceptance of decisions when they're wrong. So, okay, well, we've got to use our challenge properly,
Yeah,
basically.
I like the idea of it. I'm not keen on it in a reality thing. I think the more things that you put into place in terms of new procedures and stuff, I think it just messes with how the game will actually go, in my opinion.
The offside one bugs a lot of people, and it bugs me a lot. The Wenger
As
rule
in,
is
oh, okay.
being talked about a lot. Would you see that improving things for referees?
Would I see it improving things for referees? Probably, because I think it would be a little bit clearer for them. But as we've done another podcast on it, is it good for football? I'm not quite sure.
I'm strongly against it.
Yeah.
Strongly.
I don't know. Do you think it would make it easier for referees? I think it'd be easier for them
Do
to see, like.
we not just get the opposite where, you know, someone's running across and like, oh, and their studs might not, there might not be daylight between these studs and his knee. And is it not just the same thing, just over a longer distance? And everything will look like it's a goal. And yeah, we'll get more goals scored, but I don't think it's going to help with that moment. It'll become even more difficult for the average fan to judge if something's onside or offside. Now you can sometimes, oh, he looks like he's ahead there. Like even me for the Van de Ven one at the weekend, I was like, how's he got in that position? Don't feel right.
Yeah.
If you have that the other way around, clearly that goal would obviously count under the Wenger rule. But no, and I think that the impact, by the way, on football just generally, and as I said, we've done a podcast on this Patreon previously. Yeah, these high lines and stuff that make games exciting. Yeah, he can put that in a bin.
Yeah, everyone would just park the bus then,
Yeah.
wouldn't they?
Everyone will be going narrow. Everyone will defend deeper. The offside law is obviously was brought in originally to stop people goal hanging. That's what
This
it
is the
was.
thing.
That's what it was for.
I'm so glad you brought it up. It was to stop attackers gaining an advantage, right? And this is where I don't know what the answer is to get to a point where you're eliminating that without going to the fine margins. Like Van de Ven wasn't gaining an advantage on Sunday, was he? Like half of these millimeter things, they're not actually gaining an advantage. Like if they were a millimeter onside, it would probably be the same outcome.
I think the thing is, and listen, it's an awful London derby, so I'm sure some people would have moaned. But if that goal happens 10 years ago, prior to lines getting drawn and stuff, there'd be a bit of debate. Do you think he was offside? Do you think it was onside? Everyone would have got on with it.
Literally, yeah. I think there was always the case of like the ones where it's 2, 3 yards off and the line has had a clangor. But yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I would go back to how it was pre-VAR because I'm not gonna like I was one of these people that was like, I think there is so much room for improvement in terms of some of the decisions. Just didn't quite want it to get to 100% level that we're going for now.
Yeah, I'm strongly against that Wenger offside rule idea. Strongly. Football, by the way, I want more goals. Football has always been a low scoring sport, and I think people loved it then and will still continue to love it as a low scoring sport.
If you can make immediate changes now to improve refereeing, whether that includes the assistance of VAR, whatever, what would that be for you now? Let's just say you're in the FA, you've got a decision, you've got the power to make a decision. What would you do?
You know exactly what I would do.
You'd literally bin it, wouldn't you?
100%.
Yeah, okay.
100%. But
Good.
I also accept that that's not going to happen. I think the big thing that's becoming a recurring thing is people want to be explained why something's happened. And I think we probably quite quickly need to get to a state where we're hearing the conversations live, not even an hour after the game. We're hearing them live. But I think to get to that point, we need to really stamp down on dissent massively. The other thing, by the way, off topic, I've mentioned this before. Can we start using VAR to book people who dive? I don't, that's off topic. That's the big one, I think. If people can at least hear what the reasoning for a decision is, they will have a greater understanding of why a human being has made that choice.
Yeah.
Right now, we're left in this limbo where people are coming up with daft conspiracy theories and
Yeah.
stuff like that.
It's almost like by hearing them, you kind of, it's like your empathy levels kind of go up, right? It's like, okay, I can, don't agree with it, but you kind
I
of have.
remember there was a game years ago, about 20 years ago, at Old Trafford between Manchester United and Newcastle. And Paul Durkin was the referee, and he did an interview after the game. He disallowed two goals, one for Manchester United and one for Newcastle. And he did an interview after the game. And he said, in the interview after the game, he said, I think I've got that wrong on the Newcastle
That
one.
interview still does the rounds now, and people talk about the respect they have for him. For
And people accepted it
yep.
and went, okay, you saw this. I understand why you saw this. And for you as a human being, I mean, he'll feel gutted. I'm certain that when referees make errors, they'll be gutted. I'm sure
100%.
Michael Oliver will be gutted that at a North London derby on Sunday, the only thing people were talking about afterwards was why has he not seen that decision?
Yeah.
I believe that he'll feel like he's failed. He's a
Yeah.
human. I don't want that to happen, right? Is there an external where VAR's a pressure on him and that's why it's not happened? But that Paul Durkin interview should have opened the door to accept that people could accept that these guys are
They're
human and they
human.
can speak to us.
I don't know how no one within the industry has looked at that as the kind of the blueprint and the example of what happens when you share your vulnerability and just share your honesty and see the reaction to it.
The big, I think there's a fear that if they show major incidents in the ground and explanations, that it will incite trouble if people disagree with that decision. Yeah, I think that's what the fear is. And they've got to get past that. It's 2024 and start informing people. It's not acceptable that the people who pay the money to go in the grounds are the least informed people. That don't make no sense. Because as I've said before, if we get to the point where those people go, well, my experience will be better on the TV, your product of the Premier League is dead.
Yep.
It's not the same league anymore. So we've got to prioritize the people in the ground. That's not to say that it should necessarily be better and people on TV shouldn't be informed. I'm just saying the fan experience inside a football stadium is shit. That's a consequence of VAR, not a consequence of the actual referee.
I don't think.
The big thing, I think, to close with, we've got to make the job more enticing for people to do it. We've got to make it more rewarding. And whether that's through salaries, coaching, reward programs, you're going to get we need VAR specialists, not because I'm sure the referees didn't, when they started refereeing, didn't think they was going to sit in a room watching the TV, right? So get VAR specialists doing the VAR job.
It should be a career option.
Let the referees referee. The thing is as well, it's like they're doing a game on a Saturday, then they're doing VAR on a Sunday. You know, have a Sunday off. Go spend some time with your kids. You'll feel better about your work the previous day or your work the next day and stuff like that. They're basically all doing double duty a lot. Yeah, get VAR specialists in. I think reward it. I would like to say that I don't think refereeing is actually as bad as everyone else thinks it is. I really don't. I just think the scrutiny on it is so much bigger than it used to be.
Yeah, this way, I think it has got slightly worse, but because of the implementation of working with VAR, I think there's an over-reliance on that to re-referee games now, personally.
Good chat. This will never get resolved, I suspect.
No.
We'll probably do this a podcast again next year or in 10 years or in 20 years. It will just be something
never,
else.
It will never, ever not be a talking point.
No, but I do think we should remember that they are human as well. But it would be nice to see the human side of them. To go back to one of the first things I said, they look like they hate their job.
Yeah.
Find a way to make their job more enjoyable, whether that's through salaries, rewards, or even just to say, enjoy the game. Do your best and enjoy the game. Cheers, Clates. Enjoyed that. Thank you very much, buddy. Sky tomorrow. Suj will be with me for that one. As per usual, if you want to support the show, it's www.patreon.com/planetFPL, which will feature this week on Thursday. Me and Clayton chatting about the abolishment of FA Cup replays. Cheers, Clates. Cue music, please. Man Child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.